New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got
him. Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. It is currently Tuesday morning of Missouri game week. Obviously, Auburn is attempting to turn the page from a deflating loss to Penn State and attempt to start 1-0 in SEC play against the Missouri Tigers. First time Auburn has played Missouri since the 2017 season. They also opened SEC play there in Columbia. There is a 51-14 win, pretty decisive. And then obviously you go back to their meeting in the SEC championship game. So Auburn is 2-0 against Missouri since they joined the conference. I am joined here by Jason Caldwell and Mark Murphy, sort of our midweek episode. And we got Brian Harsin yesterday, of course. And, you know, Jason, not a massive shocker, I guess, that, you know, the hard questions are beginning because you sort of those walls have come down after the first couple games. There was no reason to be overly pressing after those first two games. But there's lots of reasons after Penn State. And, you know, Harsin was a bit fiery yesterday and a bit defensive for you know, lack of a better word. And I guess relative to what he's been throughout the season, which, again, I think a lot of people were, even people there, sort of taken aback by it. That it's like, I don't really know what y'all expected. You know, it's getting to be a tenuous situation for them. Obviously, you know, we've heard a lot about his job security this week. It was mentioned after the game. But for Auburn, they got to focus on this game against Missouri because there won't be any questions if they go out on that field and lose to Missouri on Saturday. You won't have to do any more speculating because that absolutely would be an unacceptable result. And it's one, Jason, that Missouri is going to be incredibly, incredibly fired up to try to win because of who their head coach is and because he's got history not only with Auburn but also with Brian Harsin.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a big game for them because they haven't won a ton of SEC games. And to have a chance to knock off a program like Auburn would be really important for Missouri. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And you're right, the questions will only get tougher if they go out and play again like they did Saturday. And it's not a great track record for teams that start the way this Auburn team has. When you turn the ball over a bunch and don't force any turnovers, that's not a recipe for success. And normally those things don't turn around a great deal. Now, you know, you could turn it around some. You might have, but it's the same thing kind of for Missouri. These teams are almost mirror images of each other. The schedule's been a little different, but Missouri in their one loss turned it over a bunch. They turned it over some this season. And, you know, they're a team that's been searching for a quarterback, kind of searching for the right guys in year number two. So, I mean, it's a lot of similarities when you look at these two teams. But, yeah, I mean, you know, questions are going to be there. There's no and hey, here's the thing. Going out and beating a Missouri team Saturday that gave up 40 in a blowout loss to Kansas State is not going to answer a bunch of those questions still. Those are things that are going to take a few weeks. But if you go out and play like you did Saturday, then that's pretty much all the answers you're going to need for this team.
Mark, obviously, haven't had a chance to catch up with you on this show since that Penn State game. You've had, you know, 48 plus hours to sort of marinate over it. I guess we talked about it a little bit in our exit survey after the game on the site, but
What was just the biggest surprise for you, the fact that Auburn was handled so thoroughly on its home field there, especially in the second half? What was the biggest thing that even a couple days later you're saying, wow, I still you know, can't believe that Penn State was able to do that, or that Auburn did that on its home field?
You know, what really doesn't make a lot of good sense to me, guys, is that a lot of the same players who went to Penn State got dominated at the line of scrimmage, and that was not the case last year. Auburn lost at Penn State, but they didn't really get dominated. You know, the offensive line had good moments up there. The defensive line played physical, had some good moments. So, yeah, Auburn didn't get nearly enough pass rush on Penn State up there at Beaver Stadium. And there were some other issues, too, while they lost the game. But, you know, Auburn had a chance to win that game down to the final seconds. And, boy, they didn't – this game was over with midway to late in the third quarter, I thought. And I was just kind of shocked at how Auburn played in the third and fourth quarters, because they were down 14-6 at halftime. I think they had more total yards than Penn State, and were minus two in turnover margin. And there certainly looked to be a path for Auburn to win that game, but well, it just didn't happen. And, you know, by the end of the third quarter, it was clear Penn State was a much, much better team. And, you know, maybe Penn State's going to be better than they were predicted, but, you know, from the people I talked to who cover Penn State, they think they're maybe better than last year, but they're not a team that's going to challenge for any Big Ten championships this year. So if that's the case, that's extremely concerning for Auburn folks.
Yeah, we'll stick with that offensive line play, because that's been something that's been talked about a bunch here in the early stages of the week following that game. Jason, you know, the pass protection, we'll get to that. It was
dreadful. Dreadful is the word, yes.
Certainly not very sightly. But the running game has been a big topic of conversation as well. Not only the fact that Tank Bigsby only got 9 carries, and you can find, you know, different reasons for why that was in certain parts of the game. But when we talked to Brian Harsin about it yesterday, and we got to talk to Austin Troxel, obviously the starting right tackle, sort of, you know, a couple diametrically opposed, you know, thought processes on the run game. Brian Harsin says, you know, sometimes the game plan changes, and what the defense does is sort of, you know, altering our game plan. And then Austin Troxel, who's been here for 6 years, says we need to, I don't remember his exact quote, but we need to run the football regardless of alignment. Here we go. We should be able to run the ball against any defense and go from there. That's our identity as an offense, and that's what we want to be as an offensive line, is to be able to run the ball consistently no matter what looks we're getting. So you mentioned it before we started rolling, Jason, but it's, you know, the pass protection is one thing, and we'll talk about that. But in terms of the run game, and what, like you've mentioned over and over again, needs to, you know, has been cemented, at least from what they've said, as the identity of this offense. It's not a great sign when you letting the defense dictate what you're doing in terms of your game planning, particularly on the ground, as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, and you know, I'm if I'm remembering wrong, you can correct me, but are any of the turnovers that they have this year anything other than from the passing game, whether it was interceptions, fumbles by the quarterback in the pocket, or a Shedrick Jackson fumble? Is there one in a running game? I don't know that there is. I think they're all based on the passing game. So if you're turning it over a good bit in the passing game and you want to be a run-first, physical offense, sooner or later you're going to have to line up and run the football. And middle of the second half on Saturday, hey, you're down 24-6. You got to start throwing the ball. That's just the way it works. But in a one-score game, even early in the second half, even when it gets to two scores, that's still a game where you can run the football. And I thought they gave up on it really quickly. They ran Tank early and had some success. It's not just running it. You know, the little dump-off passes to him, doing some of those things, those essentially are running plays. But if he's one of your better players, and he is, then you got to find a way to get him the football a lot more, especially to take pressure not only off the quarterback but off that offensive line. Right now, that it was a struggle for them Saturday with Penn State bringing blitzes, even when they didn't bring blitzes. You know, there were some times where they were rushing four against Auburn, and Auburn had offensive line, tight end, and running back, and they were still getting pressure on a quarterback. Well, in that case, what they're doing doesn't matter, and what you're doing doesn't matter. If you can't get the pass off, it doesn't matter what they're doing defensively. you're better off trying to do something where you can go put a hat on a hat and run the football. And the interesting thing is going to be for me this week is what the offensive line looks like, because I expect there'll be some changes. What they are, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Jahlil Irvin at center. We saw him in a bowl game. Wouldn't be surprised to see that. Alec Jackson is a veteran guy that is a big physical guy that can get downhill and run the ball. We see some of him. Heck, do we see Jeremiah Wright a little bit? You know, we had played and didn't have much experience, but he could be a road grader kind of guy in the run game. But I think we're going to see some different faces on the offensive line. And I think, you know, I would expect them to try to give the running game a lot more of a priority against a Missouri team that's not great against the run. But if you're Missouri, you know that, you know now, hey, if we put enough guys up there, they're going to throw the football. I don't think that's the way that maybe you want to phrase that. But it sure sounded that way. And if I'm Missouri, and hey, as we know, the Missouri's defensive coordinator, Blake Baker, learned under Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz is Penn State's defensive coordinator. I would expect Auburn to see much of the same as they did last week, which is a lot of pressure, a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. And can Auburn make the adjustments to handle that in the second week in a row?
Yeah, Mark, Jason mentioned it. Wouldn't be a huge shocker. Brian Harsin mentioned that there's a lot of, you know, the theme of, yes, one of the themes of Monday was competition, not only at the offensive line, but you'd have to imagine at a couple different positions there. We saw some rotating in the game. Alec Jackson, some burn at guard. You swapped those guard spots around with Keandre Jones and Cam Stutz, and Cam Stutz even played some time at left guard instead of Brandon Council for a drive or so. You had Jahlil Irvin at center. One way or another, I mean, the quarterbacks are one thing, and they obviously are not having the type of performance that Auburn would want, and they certainly didn't against Penn State. But you go back, and especially on rewatches and really kind of breaking down what Penn State did on defense, like Jason said, multiple plays where they're bringing only four guys, and a lot of times it was at center, a lot of times it was off the edge on the right side. Guys coming just completely untouched toward the quarterback, and that contributed not only toward turnovers, but just a general lack of consistency there in the passing game. Robbie Ashford maybe was able to get out of it a little bit better because he's a lot faster, but you still had a passing offense that, like you mentioned, it was a disastrous second half, for the most part in the second half, where you couldn't really call much of anything because the quarterback, if that first read wasn't there, he couldn't get the ball out in a second and a half. Then the play was broken down. He was just going to have to make something happen on the fly. According to Pro Football Focus, 36 pass quarterback pressures, and that was on 45 dropbacks for Auburn. And so that means that you had multiple Penn State guys getting pressure on the same play, which is obviously not a huge surprise, but you know, it's certainly an understatement, Mark, to say that this pass protection, maybe they'll play defensive fronts that are a little lighter this week against Missouri, but not many of them, and it's got to be something that's improved over the course of the season if they're going to have any chance of having a good passing game.
You know, to me, it's important when things aren't going as planned for an offensive coordinator to make in-game adjustments. And, I mean, if you're having problems protecting, throw some quick passes to the tight ends. You got lots of good tight ends on this team, got good size. Take advantage of that. That's one way to slow down. Some blitzes for sure. Throw some screen passes. Run a draw play. Run a quarterback draw play. You know, the best ground game for Auburn was a quarterback just running straight up the middle after they couldn't find a receiver or else they were under pressure. And so there were certainly ways to attack that defense. And I mean, from what I saw Penn State from the first two games, they're an okay defense, but nothing special. And, you know, Auburn's just got to do a better job in every area, coaching the offense, offensive line blocking. The receiver's got to do a better job, and you need to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, Tank Bigsby and Javarius Johnson right now. And you got to take advantage of those tight ends. There's a bunch of them. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk in preseason about this is one of the team's strengths, and they need to use it, guys.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
So at the quarterback position, we saw, of course, mostly TJ Finley there in that first half. You had the standard change of pace that we're used to with Robbie Ashford, but Brian Harsin was very clear post game, saying that, you know, it was an injury for TJ, but you know, that didn't really have much bearing on their effect to go, you know, on their choice to go with Robbie for the rest of the game. You know, Jason, yesterday Harsin was asked about TJ's health. He was asked about the plan at quarterback. He was asked about, you know, whether Zach Calzada is going to get some burn going forward. And his immediate response when asked if TJ is the team's current starter, he said, "We'll see." And so it kind of goes back to that theme we were just mentioning. There is still, he said, this is not a set team. That was the phrase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about it yesterday. It seems that there is open competition at most, if not every spot, save for a couple that are, you know, have been locked in with NFL players on this roster. And quarterback is certainly no exception at the moment. Maybe injuries might play a factor into it. That was, you know, pretty tough, you know, to watch TJ Finley go through that. And you know, he certainly seemed to be hobbling, and that shoulder was bothering him a little bit. So maybe that will play a factor. But regardless, in the words of Brian Harsin, this is not a set offense right now. And we could see a lot of changes coming, and quarterback is certainly no exception. I mean, we've seen changes already. We've seen Robbie play a bunch. That wouldn't be a huge shocker. But maybe we see him throwing the ball a little bit more from a game planned perspective this week. Maybe that might be something to expect against Missouri.
Yeah, I think you look and going back and watching again, seeing TJ Finley kind of grabbing that shoulder as soon as that happened, and then not seeing him again. You know, he is Auburn's passing quarterback, and they were throwing the football in the second half. That would lead me to believe that if he was good to go, then he would be in the game. And so I think you look and we'll see how he holds up this week and what happens, but I would expect to see a whole lot more Robbie Ashford again, in my opinion. I think that's, you know, it's going to be hard to imagine that TJ, and, you know, especially if it, you know, it was a throwing shoulder. So we'll see those things. It don't take much to turn that into an issue. So we'll, you know, Robbie Ashford's a guy that can build on some things offensively. We'll see, you know, how much, and hey, again, the Zach Calzada question, Holden Garner. Who knows what we might see this week, depending on like what you said. It's a scary thing, but in week three, when you still have, and hey, competition's always important. It's always important to have competition, but it's also important to settle in where guys get reps and they're in the flow of an offense, and you're tailoring your offense to the guys you have as starters. And that's always important. You can't do that if you're still competing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're just trying to find out who the number one guy is and then go from there. And even the quarterback rotation stuff, I think it's, you know, they both made plays, but I think at the detriment of each guy getting into a little bit of a rhythm, I think it's hurt them at times. You know, the rotations back and forth, doing some of those things. And you know, Mark mentioned, you know, playmakers. We saw the perfect example of that the other day where you throw a ball to TJ. I mean, TJ throws a ball to Landon King, and then you run Robbie Ashford in, and you kind of change up, go back to things. You can go back to plays, and you can do the same thing again later in the game. And it feels like it's just like a grab bag at the moment offensively. And it's hard to find a rhythm. We'll see if they can find a rhythm, because that's going to be a key for them. If they don't, it's going to be gonna be a lot of struggles.
So looking ahead briefly to Missouri, that week two game for them against Kansas State. It's funny. It was almost an identical outcome to what happened for Auburn against Penn State. Penn State, Auburn lost 41-12. Missouri lost 40-12. Both teams had four turnovers. Auburn gave up 245 rushing yards, and Missouri gave up 235. So, like we've been talking about, Mark, you know, that's a Kansas State team that turned around and lost at home to Tulane. So you would think if you're Auburn, you can just sort of lean on the ground game, especially with maybe some questions at quarterback. Obviously, all the questions we've been running through for the past 15 minutes about the passing game, you assume you'll be able to lean on that ground game against Missouri. But at the same time, it's going to be something they're going to be ready for, and they'll probably stack the box against knowing what Auburn did in the passing game last week. But you look at what Kansas State was able to do and sort of the issues Missouri has had this season. This should be a game, should be a game that Auburn is sort of able to impose its will early in the game if they're able to get some push on the offensive line. But at the same time, that hasn't been a given here early in the season.
No, I'm not assuming anything the way Auburn played against Penn State. And if you go back and look at it, you know, Auburn didn't dominate the line of scrimmage against San Jose State by any means. And even against Mercer, there were some warning signs there that the offensive line and defensive line play needed to get better. And, you know, just think back to this game last week. You know, Auburn didn't get a quarterback sack, didn't get a quarterback pressure, according to the official game stats. And, boy, that's just extremely disappointing. And this is pretty much the same Penn State offense with minus three starters in the offensive line that ended up with 88 rushing yards up at Beaver Stadium. They ran for 245 against Auburn at Jordan-Hare. And, boy, that's very discouraging. And, you know, you guys talked earlier about the turnovers. Yeah, that's been a big problem. Minus four, you're not likely to beat anybody in a particular game. But if that game was turnover neutral, Auburn still would have lost by several touchdowns, I believe, because the defense didn't get the job done up front, and neither did the offense. So, you know, it'd be nice for Auburn if turnovers were the issue, because that's something that can be changed from game to game. But, yeah, that's just one of many issues right now, guys. So I'm not assuming they're going to beat Missouri. Yeah, they're a favorite. And, yes, Missouri's been mediocre, and they've got a rebuilt team. But, I mean, right now, the way Auburn's playing, they've got a lot to prove. And that starts this Saturday in the SEC opener.
Yeah, your point is exactly correct, Mark, because for all the difference the turnovers made, and they made a bigger difference in the second half just in terms of game control, with Penn State sort of complementing the turnovers with a good ground game. But for the game, Penn State only had 10 points. They only had one touchdown and one field goal off of the four turnovers. So it's not as if those created that massive scoring burst for Penn State. A lot of that was done, like you said, Mark, a lot of that was done just lining up head-to-head with them on offense against Auburn's defense and running the ball particularly well. This isn't an explosive Missouri passing game, Jason, but it is a guy that, it is a team that has a talented receiver in Luther Burden, who's a five-star freshman. They've been able to do some good things through the first couple games. It is not as diversified and experienced and overall efficient as somebody like Sean Clifford is with all the weapons that he has. You would assume that Auburn is able to have a better game in terms of its pass defense, because while that wasn't the strength, that wasn't the number one for Penn State, they were able to find more success on the ground. It was still something where we saw shades of it, you know, pop up in the first couple games. It was still something where they weren't able to get a ton of pressure as the second, third, and fourth quarters went along and weren't able to really cover the tight end. Those receivers made some great catches downfield. Like Mark mentioned, you'd like to see your pass rush step up here in this game and register some more pressures and some more sacks, because that's what Brian Harsin talked about yesterday. Look, zero sacks is completely unacceptable against any team, especially with what Auburn was trying to scheme up defensively against Penn State.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, and you know, this Missouri defense, obviously they haven't played a ton of, you know, really good teams on that side, but offensively, Eli Drinkwitz can dial some things up. They can score points. Again, it's been turnovers for them when they don't turn the ball over. They've done a pretty good job, and they've been pretty balanced when you look at them. And you know, they're averaging, you know, 32 points a game or so, and that's with a game of 12 scored 31 last weekend, or in the had that game in control for a while. But, you know, you look at them and you're right. It's, you know, the play of, you know, quarterback, they kind of found a guy. And when you start talking about Brady Cook, you know, the guy's been in the program, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 64%, you know, he's averaging about 200 yards passing game. Their running game is kind of all over the place. He's actually their leading rusher, their quarterback. They've got 3 or 4 guys that are running some, but you know, Luther Burden is a dynamic receiver. Dominic Lovick is a guy that had a really big game. And then Barrett Bannister is kind of just a every down, third down guy that makes some plays. So, you know, it's an offense that'll create some challenges, I think, for, you know, this Auburn defense. And, you know, Mark mentioned it. You look at it and turnovers, absolutely. You need to get the ball back to your offense as much as anything. That's the reason you get turnovers, is to get the ball back to your offense, an offense that's not been dynamic, to help them score maybe on some short fields. That's what it's about. But you look at it, the bigger issue is you know, Penn State just lined up, ran the football, and did it in a red zone, which is not normal. That's not normal. You know, Georgia can do that and has done that at times. Alabama's done that at times. Penn State's not a team which you would say, hey, they're going to get in the red zone, they're going to line up and run the football and score touchdowns. That's not happening, and it happened Saturday. And you're going to face better teams than that in that situation moving forward, you know, this season. Missouri won't be one of those. But as Mark said, if you take away all those turnovers – you know, you're still losing that game Saturday because of what happened at the line of scrimmage, and that's where it has to start.
Yep, the trenches on both sides of the ball. It's you know, a tried and true statement that's been proven over time across any sort of team you look at. Penn State's offense was able to do a great job running the ball. They were able to neutralize Auburn at the line of scrimmage, and then obviously on the other side of the ball, Auburn wasn't able to get much of any protection for their quarterbacks, and even struggled a little bit in the ground game. And so that's the number one thing that, of course, has to improve heading into their SEC opener against Missouri. So we will be back, of course, on Thursday with the roundtable to break down this game in depth. Until then, thank you everybody for listening and tuning in today to this midweek episode. If you watched us on the Facebook live stream, definitely appreciate it. If you guys enjoyed the show on your podcast feed, you guys can go give us a 5-star review. That is the number one thing that helps us out. We would definitely appreciate that as we try to grow our listenership during the season, during what's an interesting portion of the season right now. The bumper music is by Beats by Mordecai. You guys can follow him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. And until Thursday's roundtable, we will catch you guys later. Everybody, enjoy your week.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!